If you have questions, I'd be very pleased. Yes.
Yes, Professor, you're able to calculate the density of the interstellar gas. What is it, and does it vary much between galaxies?
The question is whether the interstellar gas, what the interstellar gas density is, and how much it varies from one galaxy to another. And the answer is that in our Milky Way, in the central portions of the plane where it's densest, the average density is about one atom per cubic centimeter. As you go to the outer portions above the plane, it gets to be considerably less. Some galaxies have much more gas than ours, maybe 10 times as much, maybe more than that. Others are totally devoid of gas for various reasons. For example, there may have been supernovae that have blown up and just sort of spewed out all of this gas at very high velocities of the order of thousands of kilometers per second, where the gravity of the galaxy, especially a small galaxy with a supernova in it, can become entirely devoid of gas. So, and that means not entirely perhaps, but perhaps it would be 10 times less dense in gas. Question is whether infrared detectors could be developed to see the heat from the planets that are formed in a protoplanetary disk. And the answer is very definitely yes. People who, as you know, quite a number of relatively nearby stars in the last 4 or 5 years have been noticed as having planets around them. And some of them are much closer. Some of the giant planets that we see around other stars are much closer in than Jupiter, which has required a re-evaluation of our theories of how planets form. But in fact, the way to distinguish or to make it easier to see a planet than it is to see the star, people have suggested and are beginning to make observations in the infrared, because the thermal emission from a planet is accentuated relative to, in the optical wavelength, they give off nothing, or almost nothing, only reflected light from the central star. But particularly the giant planets, which emit more heat than they absorb because of radioactivity and because of contraction, particularly those are more likely to stand out in contrast relative to the parent star by making these observations in infrared. You're absolutely right. The question is, what kind of role would infrared observations play in the detection of black holes? There are two kinds of black holes. There are stellar-sized black holes, stars that are perhaps more than 5 times the mass of the Sun are potential places where black holes can form, according to present theory at least. We don't understand this very well. And then there are black holes at the centers of galaxies, and those are much more massive. Those are as massive as 100 million suns. The infrared is probably not the very best way of making observations on the stellar black holes. The stellar black holes tend to be detected, if they're detected at all, by what are called accretion disks. Disks of material that is spiraling into the black holes, attracted by the gravity, but the material that still has enough angular momentum so that it'll form a disk first, and then onto that disk, which is very compact, other material falls and hits it with such an impact that X-rays are emitted. So the X-ray astronomers are the people who are studying those most effectively today. The much larger black holes at the centers of galaxies, they also have disks around them, and those disks then become very hot gas. They don't give off a tremendous amount of infrared radiation, but on the other hand, they often are obscured by dust clouds. So optical radiation, visible light, does not pass through, and infrared observations can look at that disk then. It's not that the disk emits preferentially at infrared wavelengths, but that we can look at it through the surrounding dust clouds. So there is a contribution there that the infrared can make. The question is whether the infrared emission from the parent star would not way outshine the radiation from a planet. And you're absolutely right. That is the very big problem in trying to study those planets. In fact, where one has seen a planetary system or observed it, it's not because one is directly seeing a planet, but rather that as the planet orbits around the parent star, the parent star also undergoes a small motion. Where the planet goes in a huge circle around the sun, the reaction on the star produces an opposite motion of the star, which is perhaps 1,000 times less in diameter, a tiny circle in comparison. And the ratio of the sizes of these orbits is in the ratio of the masses. So if you have a Jupiter-like object, which is 1,000 times less than in mass than the central star will only exert an orbit which is about 1,000th the orbit of the planet. But it's with sensitive spectral measurements, one can actually see the shift of spectral lines and so-called Doppler shift, and you see those motions. You don't see the planet directly. In order to see a planet directly, you have to sort of block out the radiation from the central star and then also try to see the infrared radiation because that's much more in the ratio. The star is very hot. It gives off a lot of ultraviolet and visible light, but not in proportion, not very much infrared. The planet gives off primarily in the infrared, but the star will still outshine it by many factors of maybe a million. But by using a coronagraph, which is a sort of a disk that blocks out the central star, and a very large telescope that hopefully allows you to distinguish the positions of the planet and the star, you're able to just barely do that. And that actually has not been achieved yet, but lies in the next few years. We think we are going to be able to do that successfully.